Unit 4, Application and System Software. It is part of Component 4, Introduction to Information in Computer Science. These are the objectives for Unit 4. A. Define application versus system software. B. Give examples of application software and the elements that comprise them, focusing on healthcare systems. C. Describe the functions of system software operating system, including file organization, file types downloading zip files. D. List different types of brands of operating systems. And E. Explain the purpose and usage of file system. We will focus on objectives C and D in this lecture. System software consists of programs that control and maintain the operations of a computer. There are two types of system software, operating systems and utility programs. Often the distinction between these two types isn't made. Utility programs may be considered to be part of the operating system. The operating system of a computer is the set of programs that coordinate all the activities of the computer, including all the hardware, which are referred to as resources. You can view an operating system, or OS for short, as the layer between the hardware of the computer and the application software that you run. An OS is unique to each individual hardware system, so the same version of Windows running on your desktop will not run on your smartphone. You would need a different version of Windows for that. Here's an example of how an operating system works and what it does. Suppose you want to print a document from a word processor. You first need to start the word processing program. Let's say you do this by clicking on the icon for your word processor on your desktop. When you do this, the OS registers the mouse click and figures out that you want to open your word processor. It finds where the word processor is stored on your hard drive, loads it into memory, and starts the program. Once the program has started, you use the menus to find and open the file you want to print. The word processor requests the file from the OS. The OS finds the file on the hard drive, loads it into memory, and sends the information back to the word processor. The word processor then displays the document. You select the menu option to print, which causes the word processor to request a print from the operating system. The operating system sends a document to the printer, and the printer prints it. Without the operating system, the application software would have no way to talk to the system. For this example, if it couldn't find files on the disk, it couldn't load the file into memory, view it, or print it. The functions of an OS are many. Here are a few major functions. It interfaces with the user. The user must have a way to tell the OS what he or she wants to do. It boots the computer when it is powered on. It configures any devices attached to the computer. It manages processes, which are running programs, hardware resources, memory, files, and it provides security. Operating systems interface with users in a couple different ways. Today, most OSs provide graphical user interfaces, or GUIs, to interact with users. Users can see visual representations of files and use the mouse to select and click what they want to open, run, print, copy, move, etc. Some examples are the GUIs in Microsoft Windows, Mac OS and Mac OS X, and the GUI windowing systems available for Linux. Linux does not include a GUI windowing environment by default. Instead, there are several ones to choose from that will work with Linux. The other way is to interact is through the command line. In this paradigm, the user types in commands to interact with the operating system. For example, instead of starting a program by clicking on an icon, the user would type out the full name of the program, including the path of where it's stored, to get it to run. Some operating systems that use command lines are DOS, Unix, and Linux, assuming that you're not using a windowing environment for either Unix or Linux. To see a DOS command line in Microsoft Windows, go to the Start menu, select Run, dot, 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 and then type in CMD, or the full word command if you're running an old version of Windows. It will bring up a command line window where you can type in commands to do different things. One example command is the dir command, which is D-I-R. So to view all the files in the current folder, you can type in that command, dir, which will then list all the files in your folder. Booting is the first test that happens when the computer is turned on. The BIOS, which stands for Basic Input Output System, is started. Those are the sets of instructions stored in ROM that are needed to execute when the computer is started. Remember, ROM is the type of memory that persists even after the computer is turned off. The BIOS starts the OS. The kernel of the OS is started and continues to run the entire time the computer is on. The kernel refers to the necessary core parts of the operating system that need to run all the time. Other parts of the OS, such as utility programs, are started later as needed. The OS then checks to see what devices are connected to the computer and if they are configured properly. If not, it will generate error messages or pop-up windows prompting the user to configure the device. Other applications are then launched, which ones depend on the startup scripts that are defined by the user. Note, the BIOS itself has a user interface. It can be accessed by pressing a particular key when the computer is booting. It provides a menu for configuring the system. Devices are hardware components that are connected to the computer, for example, a printer or a scanner, etc. The operating system needs to have a device driver to communicate with and use the device. This driver is unique to the operating system, including the version number, and to the hardware device. Once a device driver is installed, it works just fine. If it becomes corrupted or overwritten, you will need to install it again. Also, if you change anything about your system, you may need to install another version of the driver. If you get a new PC, you'll need to install drivers for all your other devices on it. If you get a new printer, you'll need to install a new driver specific to that printer. If you upgrade your OS to a new version, you'll need to install a new driver. You can usually find these drivers online at the website of the manufacturer of the device. Make sure you know the model number. Occasionally, you may not be able to find new drivers for old devices. For example, no one's bothered to write one, so your device is now obsolete. When you boot the computer, the OS detects all devices and checks to see if the proper driver is installed. If not, it will notify you and try to reinstall the driver if it can find it. If it can't, you will have to do it on your own. When a software program is running, it is considered to be a process. Most PCs today have only one user using them at a time, but that one user can have multiple programs or processes running at the same time. Originally, operating systems were single-user, single-tasking, meaning only one program could run at a time with just one user. Larger servers may also be multi-user and multitasking, meaning they can have multiple users using them at once, and each user can have multiple processes running at once. In a single-user setting, the OS responds to the user's mouse movements and clicks to determine which window and process is active. In multi-user systems, the OS has to make sure that the user's processes share the system appropriately. If the program process is not in memory, the OS has to load it. Recall that there is a limited size for memory, and it's possible that not all processes can be contained in memory at once. If this is the case, then the OS can load only a portion at once and switch out to another portion when it's needed. It's possible, even in a single-user setting, that there are multiple processes active at once. For example, a user may be downloading an MP3 file, and at the same time, he or she may be writing an email. The OS has to manage which process is running at a given time, or multiple processes if there are multiple processors, and how these processes share the computer resources. There are many resources in a computer. The central processing unit, or CPU, there may be multiple CPUs within one system, memory or RAM, devices, secondary or disk storage, such as the hard drive, and the network. The operating system manages which process is using, controlling which resource at a given time. It implements a scheduler for sharing the CPUs so that each process gets a fair share of time. It gives the illusion that multiple programs are running at a given time, even if there are more processes than CPUs. Each process gets a small chunk of time per turn, and the processes are switched so quickly it's barely noticeable. Also, the OS controls how devices are shared among processes, for example, maintaining a print queue of multiple print jobs. Finally, it provides access to memory, secondary storage, and to the network. Every operating system has a way to view running processes. In Microsoft Windows, it's the Task Manager, and in Mac OS, it's the Activity Monitor or Process Viewer. The top command in Unix and Linux will also provide a list of processes. Within the view, you can see the names of all the processes, who started the process, how much CPU time and memory it's using, etc. The OS manages memory. The two main operations are accessing memory through memory addresses and then retrieving or storing data to or from memory. Even though the amount of RAM on most modern computers is rather large, it is still limited. To give the illusion of unlimited memory, modern OSs use something called virtual memory. Virtual memory is much larger than the physical memory. The OS manages mapping the virtual memory to physical memory. It uses hard disk space, which is called swap space, for the part of memory not currently loaded into physical memory or RAM. Ideally, the processes in swap space are inactive processes. Swapping occurs when a process's instructions and/or data are loaded from swap space into RAM, and some other instructions and data previously stored in memory are then saved to swap space. As you might imagine, the swapping is very time-consuming. If you've ever used a computer that's running many programs and has too little memory, you'll notice a significant slowdown as you try to do things within a program and when you switch programs. The entire system seems bogged down. Adding additional memory to the computer can help speed things up. Files are all the documents that are stored on your computer. They're organized into folders or directories. The operating system uses the file system to control how these files are stored on disk and secondary storage. The file system provides an interface to the user for viewing and manipulating files. In fact, most of the GUI or command line interface within an OS deals with file system functions like viewing file lists and folders directories, copying, renaming, moving, and deleting files. Also, the file system allows application software to access files and folders. Finally, the OS provides low-level security. It runs all processes related to the operating system in system mode, meaning users cannot access the processes. It can provide user accounts and access rights to protect access to the computer and to the file system. Also, current OSs are configured to update automatically, which means that any security holes can be patched quickly. In addition, current operating systems can include integrated firewalls which can protect the computer from unwanted network accesses. Regardless of the security features of modern operating systems, users still need to install commercial security applications. These applications provide the most thorough and up-to-date protections against viruses, worms, spyware, and all sorts of other malware. Utility programs are the other part of system software. These programs perform system tasks like backing up files, diagnosing system problems, searching for a file, compressing files, etc. Also, these utilities can help with accessibility for disabilities, such as increasing all font sizes for easier reading. These utility programs may come with the installation of the operating system or may need to be installed later. Also, some experts may consider them to be part of the operating system, while others do not. In any case, the operating systems and the utility programs work together to make computer hardware usable. Since all computers have an operating system, there are several types available. There are operating systems for personal computers, for servers, for handheld devices, and for embedded computers. All of them provide some level of the same core functionality, but differ in the complexity and size. For PCs, there are three main brands that are available. The first is DOS, Disk Operating System, which is the command line system for Intel chip PCs that predate Microsoft Windows. Microsoft Windows is the GUI-based operating system for Intel chip-based PCs. Version 1.0 was introduced in 1985, with subsequent versions 2.3 and 3.1 following within the next 7 years. Note, these initial versions of Windows were still based on DOS. Windows 95 was introduced in 1995 and it had an improved GUI. There were versions 98, ME, and 2000. At the same time, Microsoft developed and introduced their business operating system called Windows NT starting in 1994. Windows XP combined the personal and business operating systems when it was released in 2001. Windows Vista introduced security features and changes to UI when it was introduced in 2007. Windows 7, the latest version, was introduced in 2009. For Apple Macintosh personal computers, the OS is Mac OS, which ranged from the classic Mac OS first introduced in 1984 through version 9 in 2001. The hallmark of the Mac OS was that it had a completely graphical user interface. It never used a command line like DOS did. Mac OS X is a completely different operating system. It is a BSD Unix operating system which makes it very secure and stable. It was first introduced in 2002 and has had 6 more significant versions, the most recent being the Snow Leopard version, version 10.6. It uses a graphical interface called Aqua. This is a screenshot of Windows XP showing the Start menu, where users can select installed applications or control panel utilities to run, and the File Explorer. This is a screenshot of Mac OS X 10.6 showing the Aqua graphical user interface. When comparing Windows versus Mac OS X, you will find that the biggest strength for Windows is the large number of applications available for the operating system, as well as for the hardware and devices. Conversely, the weakness of Mac OS X is that the software availability is limited. Some software is just not available for Mac OS X. On the plus side for Mac OS X is that it's easy to use, although the Windows GUI is quite similar now to Mac OS X. Because Mac OS X is based on Unix, it is highly reliable and secure. On the other hand, Windows isn't as reliable and secure. Software running in Windows often freezes up or ends suddenly, unlike Mac OS X, where this is a rarity. Also, far more malware targets Windows platforms than Mac OS X. Part of the reason is that Windows is far more popular, making it a bigger target. The other part is that the operating system just isn't as secure as Mac OS X. Unix was an operating system developed in 1969 for mainframes. It is still used today, and there are many different variations and versions. It is very robust, secure, and stable, and very expensive since it's proprietary. In 1991, Linus Torvalds created Linux, which is a free, open-source version of Unix. He basically reverse-engineered Unix. Both Linux and Unix can now be installed on both PCs, workstations, and large servers or mainframes. This is a view of Linux with the KDE4 windowing environment. This is a view of the command lines in a Unix system. Windowing environments are available for Unix, but the command line still remains. There are many operating system options available for servers. Mac OS X Server is identical to OS X for PCs, but adds functionality needed for servers. Microsoft Windows Server was introduced after Windows NT for large server applications. There have been 4 versions so far, with the latest being Windows Server 2008 R2. Additionally, there is a server OS designed specifically for high-performance computing, HPC Server 2008. On the smaller side, there are server OSs for small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and home use. Finally, Unix and Linux can be used as an operating system for a server. Operating systems for handhelds are smaller and simpler than those for PCs. Because the OS on a handheld is so small, it can be stored in ROM and loaded immediately when the device is turned on. It provides built-in support for touch screens, handwriting input, wireless networks, cellular communication, etc. Some examples are Palm OS for Palm devices, Microsoft Windows Mobile OS or Phone 7 for phones and handhelds, iPhone iOS 4 based on Mac OS X for iPhones, BlackBerry OS for BlackBerries, and the Android OS for Android phones, which is based on Linux. Embedded systems are computers that are embedded in electronic devices. There are embedded computers in everything from home appliances to power steering modules to home electronics. Those systems still need their own OS. Some of them are developed specifically for that system and are proprietary. Some are commercially available and customizable, such as Windows XPE, Windows XP for embedded systems. When you customize Windows XPE, you install only the components of the operating system that are necessary for your device. This decreases the size of the operating system and increases security since there's less code to be vulnerable to attack. The current version is Windows Embedded Standard 2009. XPE is not available for PCs since it is licensed to original equipment manufacturers who develop embedded systems. The Sonosite is an example of a device that uses an embedded OS. In this case, it uses Windows Embedded CE, another type of embedded OS from Microsoft. This handheld portable ultrasound device boots quickly and provides instant ultrasound images which can be transferred over USB. The image displays the Sonosite M-Turbo portable ultrasound. In summary, operating systems are an important component of your computer. They control all the functions of computers and act as an intermediary between the hardware and the software. They also provide a way for the user to interact with the computer. There are many different versions and brands of operating system. Each operating system is unique to a particular computer hardware system.